We're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 4 and then some texts in the Old Testament relating to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11, which you'll recognize as the temptation of our Lord. A pretty familiar passage. Matthew 11, verses 1 through, Matthew 4, I'm sorry. I confuse my students this way too. Matthew 4, verses 1 through 11. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he then became hungry. And the tempter came to him and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Then the devil took him into the holy city and had him stand on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "On the other hand, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." And again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Go, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and began to minister to him. May God be pleased to bless to us the reading of his word. Please, let's pray together. Father, thank you for the grace that you do give us in Jesus Christ. And thank you for this, your word. And we are grateful, Father, that we have the privilege of access to it. And we thank you, Father, that we also have the privilege of your Spirit. And so we pray as we look into this, your word, that you'd be pleased to work on our hearts, that we might respond to the things spoken from your word as you would have it. We ask these things in the good name of Jesus Christ, who is the Lord. Amen. Overcoming temptation. Well, this is a text to which pastors often point, and they point to it to show us the example of Jesus. That the way you are to overcome temptation is to quote Scripture. After all, this is what Jesus did, didn't he? He knew the Scriptures well, and so you should know the Scriptures well. And when the devil comes to tempt you, you should quote the Scriptures and know that the devil will flee from you. Well, that's not exactly what our text teaches us. In fact, it teaches us something quite different. The devil also knows the Scriptures. And I would submit to you that he knows the Scriptures better than you do and better than I do. And so simply quoting the Scriptures to the devil is not the solution. Actually, the solution to overcoming temptations is to live properly in covenant with God. To understand how you should live in covenant with God, and by the Spirit, empowering you to actually live in covenant with God. This is what Jesus Christ does. He lives in covenant with His Father. And He tells the devil that He will not deviate from the covenant, but He will love His Father and live in covenant with His Father. And it's incumbent upon you and it's incumbent upon me to also live in covenant with the Father. But we fail. As our confession and catechisms teach us, we fail in thought, word, and deed daily. And so what must we do? We must repair to Jesus Christ, the one who in our text this morning displays Himself as the ultimate covenant keeper. He is the one who keeps covenant, and He keeps covenant for you and for me. And so when you fail in your obligation to keep covenant, you repair to Jesus Christ and you thank God that He is the one who has kept the covenant for you. And so the point I want you to get this morning is that you are to live in covenant with your Father if you are to overcome evil and temptation. You are to live in covenant with your Father. And when you fail, which you will do, that's not a happy thought, is it? It's true, though. When you fail, and you will, you repair to Jesus Christ and trust in Him who is your covenant keeper. So trust Christ, your covenant keeper. See, this is the great lesson that emerges from our text this morning. So let's look at it. Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. The first two verses. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after He had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, He then became hungry. Having been baptized by John in the Jordan, and having heard the words from heaven, "This is My beloved Son." Or, how is it? Well, we may look at it. Yes, "This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." After hearing those words, Jesus is cast literally into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And, of course, this reminds us of Adam in the garden, tempted by the devil. It also reminds us of the children of Israel, 40 years in the wilderness. In this case, Jesus Christ is in the wilderness for 40 days, as the text tells us. And He fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. And the text tells us, we don't really need this information, do we? He became hungry. Well, I suspect that was the case. Irma and I have a very good friend who went to California and fasted for 40 days. It was a water fast. He fasted for 40 days for health reasons. And when he came home and I saw him, he was skin and bones. And you can well imagine that this was the case. And our Lord, fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, was hungry and emaciated in the wilderness. And we must reckon with the fact that He had heard those words, "This is My beloved Son," having been baptized. And He understood Himself as the second Adam, as the second man, being tempted by the devil. And He understood Himself as God's Son, the true Israel of God. And so as He takes the place of Israel, and as He takes the place of humanity in the wilderness, He is tempted by the devil. And what does the devil do? Verse 3, the tempter came to Him and said, "If you are the Son of God." You see, this is the great temptation. Are you really the Son of God? Are you truly the Son of God? If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. It's very likely that the wilderness area where the temptation took place is not far from Jericho, in a wilderness area adjacent to the Jordan River. And so there were a lot of stones, loaf-like stones in the area. Command these stones to become bread. You're the Son of God. Prove it to be so. Satisfy your hunger in this fashion. That was the test. Could Jesus Christ have turned those stones into bread? Of course he could have. The creator of the universe. That would have been no difficulty for him at all. But he answers. Verse 4. But he answered and said to him, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." No, you are not really to achieve your life by bread which you put in your mouth. You are to gain life by understanding and taking in the words which come out of the mouth of God. That is where true life is to be obtained. Well, of course, our Lord now is quoting from the Old Testament. And in this case, it's the book of Deuteronomy. And so I'd like you to keep your finger there in Matthew chapter 4 and go back, if you would please, with me to Deuteronomy and the 8th chapter. Deuteronomy and the 8th chapter. The first three verses of Deuteronomy chapter 8. And listen to the words recorded in this place. As you contemplate these words, remember that the people of Israel are on the verge of Jordan. They are at the edge of the Jordan River. They are at the end of their 40 years in the wilderness. They are prepared to cross the Jordan and to enter into the promised land. This is the situation with Israel. And the words of the covenant are given to the people a second time. This is the idea here. Deuteronomy. Deuteronomos, second law. See, the second recitation of the covenant. And so the words which Jesus quotes to the devil are from the covenant of God. Hear them now. Deuteronomy 8. All the commandments that I am commanding you today, you shall be careful to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord swore to give to your forefathers. You shall remember all the way which the Lord God has led you in the wilderness these 40 years, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. He humbled you and let you be hungry, and fed you with manna which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you understand that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. True life comes from that which proceeds from God. And this is one of the lessons that Israel was to learn in the wilderness. And the text here in Deuteronomy specifically tells you and me that God had Israel in the wilderness for 40 years to test Israel, to see what was in their hearts. Well, that's a little strange, isn't it? Did God really need to know through a test over a period of 40 years what was in the hearts of these individuals? Well, not really. God knew what was in their hearts all along. The test was really to show them what was in their hearts, so that the contents of their hearts would be openly displayed. That was the idea of the test. And then the words. He humbled you to let you be hungry and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you understand that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. The test was, do you have a heart to follow the Lord? Do you trust the Lord implicitly that He will take care of you? He's given you manna from heaven, food you did not know. Do you trust the Lord? And the Lord saying to them, do you trust me? Do you love me? Will you keep covenant with me? You see, that was the test. And it's in this context, then, that you should understand the words of Deuteronomy quoted by Jesus to the devil. Turn back with me, if you would, then, to Matthew chapter 4. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And so Jesus is simply responding to the devil and saying, no, devil, no, devil, I will keep covenant with my Father. Tempt me, test me as you will. I reject your way. My food and my drink is to do the will of my Father. You remember Jesus says this in another context. And so Jesus is saying to the devil, I will keep covenant with my Father. I am in covenant with Him and I will not violate that covenant. I will walk with my Father and trust Him. Well, the devil's not finished. Verse 5. Then the devil took him into the holy city and had him stand on the pinnacle of the temple. Whether this was in reality or this was in a vision, as the commentators debate, is actually immaterial to the actual temptation. Then the devil took him into the holy city and had him stand on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, again, if you are the Son of God, prove it. Does Jesus really have to prove something to the devil? That's ridiculous on the face of it. If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written. And so now the devil quotes the scriptures. He will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Well, it sounds reasonable, but is it actually? Well, keep your finger in Matthew 4 and go back to Psalm 91. Let's see what the devil is doing here. You see, the devil is quite handy with the scriptures. He knows the Word of God. But he's also quite capable of perverting the Word of God and at the same time making it sound palatable. Psalm 91, verses 11, 12, and 13. Psalm 91, 11. For he will give his angels charging, angels charge concerning you. Oh, yes. But the devil conveniently leaves out the next line. To guard you in all your ways. The devil didn't want to remind Jesus of this promise that his Father would guard him in all of his ways. And how would he guard him against the wiles of the devil? So the devil didn't want him to be reminded of these words. But Jesus knew these words right well. For he will give his angels charge concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will bear you up in their hands that you do not strike your foot against a stone. And the devil stops at that point. But we ought not to stop at that point. Because you see the very next words. You will tread upon the lion and cobra. The young lion and the serpent you will trample down. Well, of course the devil did not want to quote those words. Because it is exactly what Jesus Christ came to do, was to stomp heavily on the head of the serpent and to bring his demise. And our Lord Jesus, as you go back to Matthew chapter 4, is actually in the process of bringing about the demise of the devil. And so Jesus responds to the serpent by again quoting the covenant. Verse 7, Jesus said to him, on the other hand, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. Here again, Jesus quotes from Deuteronomy. This time it's Deuteronomy 6. So keep your finger there in Matthew 4. And go back to Deuteronomy chapter 6. The verse is 16. And it's rather a standalone verse, or we might take it that way. But the complete text gives us some additional important information. Verse 16, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test as you tested him at Massah. As you tested him at Massah. Pastor read from Exodus 17. Let's turn back there now. Exodus 17. Because Exodus 17 gives us the scene at Massah. You shall not test the Lord as at Massah. Here the people, having just been delivered from Egypt and not yet quite to Mount Sinai, in other words, they are at the beginning of their 40-year journey in the wilderness, at this point, quarrel with Moses because they're thirsty. They don't have water to drink. And so God, through the instrumentality of Moses, gives them water to drink through the striking of a rock. Verse 6 tells us this. Behold, I will stand before you on the rock at Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and water will come out of it, that the people may drink. And Moses also did so, and in the sight of the elders, he named the place Massah and Meribah, because of the quarrel of the sons of Israel, and because they tested the Lord, saying, is the Lord among us or not? You see, the heart of the test was this. Are you with us, Lord? Are you really with us? Are you really with us? That was the heart of the test. And Jesus knew that this was the heart of the test as to whether the Lord was present or not. Back to Matthew 4 now. Verse 7, Jesus said to him, "On the other hand, it is written, 'You shall not put the Lord your God to the test.'" And you see, the heart of the test was this: Jesus, is your Father really with you? He said to you at your baptism, "This is my beloved Son." Is He really with you? Do you believe that your Father is really with you? And Jesus responds by directing the attention of the devil back to the temptation and testing in the wilderness at Meribah, where the people were testing the Lord as to whether or not He was with them. And the Lord gave them, in that circumstance, a testimony of the fact that He was indeed with them. Water out of a rock. He was with them, all right. And Jesus says to the devil, "My Father is with me. I know that this is the case." He has just recently testified from heaven that He is with me, and I will keep covenant with Him. I will not break His word in a foolish test, devil. But again, the devil is not finished. Verse 8. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. Look, Lord Jesus, all these kingdoms can be yours. I can imagine Jesus chuckling in his own heart saying, "Devil, don't you realize that my Father has already promised to give me all of these kingdoms? And they are mine? And I am later going to say to my disciples, 'All authority on heaven and in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations.'" You foolish devil. Then Jesus said to him, "Go, Satan, out of here, unclean spirit. For it is written, 'You shall worship the Lord your God and serve Him only.'" This is another word from Deuteronomy chapter 6. Back to Deuteronomy 6. Deuteronomy 6, verse 13. "You shall fear only the Lord your God, and you shall worship Him and swear by His name." Deuteronomy 6, verse 13. You shall worship and serve the Lord your God only. I point out to you, friends, again, that this is a word of the covenant. And our Lord Jesus Christ has sworn to uphold the covenant, God's covenant. He will do the bidding of His Father. He will not violate God's covenant. Now notice something else concerning this particular text. In fact, notice something about these three selected texts by our Lord Jesus. The first text is quoted in from Deuteronomy chapter 8. The second text comes at Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 16. The third text comes from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 13. Our Lord Jesus is moving in the quotations of these particular texts inexorably back to the heart of the covenant, which comes in verses 4 and 5 in Deuteronomy 6. Hear, O Israel. The Lord is our God. The Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. With everything that is within you, you shall love the Lord your God, and you shall follow His word. And when you go back then to Matthew chapter 4, what is it that Jesus is therefore saying to the devil? It's simply this, friends. Here is God's covenant. I will keep God's covenant. And why is it that I will keep God's covenant? I love my Father. And my Father loves me. I know this is the case. This is the heart of His word. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart. And devil, I love my Father. And I will not violate His word. And verse 11 says, the devil left him. And the angels came to minister to him, to uphold him and strengthen him. How do you combat the devil? You see, it's not simply by knowing the Bible and quoting the Bible. It's having a heart full of love for the Father and having a heart so full of love for the Father that you say, I will keep covenant with my Father. He loves me and I love Him and I will walk with Him. Ultimately, you see, that's how you do combat with the devil. And when you stumble and fall, you can look back to the good work of Jesus Christ, who kept covenant with His Father perfectly. And He did so as the second Adam, the second man. He did so standing in the place of His people, people like you and me. He kept covenant for us, our dear Savior. Tested and tempted and saying, no, devil, I have a work to do, a great work to do. And I will keep covenant with my people and I will be obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Because I know the love of my Father. And my Father will take me from that tomb of death and exalt me to the right hand of His own eminence so that all the world may be in awe and worship before my throne. And so, you do combat with the devil, friends, by God's grace, keeping covenant with him. And then at times of failure, looking at Jesus Christ, the great covenant keeper, and saying, "Thank you, Lord, for keeping God's covenant for me." Let's pray. Father, we bow before you knowing our own weakness. We thank you at the same time for the power and the strength and the victory of Jesus Christ. We pray, Father, that you would make of us a people who do indeed love you with all of our hearts. And Father, we have taken vows before you to serve you. Work in us, Lord, that we might be faithful to you, because we love you and we know that you love us. And as we fail so often, we pray that you would cause us to look and to see the covenant keeping of Jesus Christ, the Lord, our Savior. And the fact that he did indeed keep covenant with you for us and for our sake. Thank you. Thank you that this is the case. Knowing this, Father, knowing that you love us in this way, and in the end, you will take us home to be with you in glory one day. We, Father, renew our commitment to walk in your ways and to love you and love our neighbor and to keep covenant with you. Always with an eye to Jesus, who is our covenant keeper. For we pray in his good and gracious name. Amen.